Are you an entrepreneur that would like to quickly free up and create more cash flow and lasting wealth? Welcome to the Chris Miles Money Show. Chris Miles is a cash flow expert and the financial advocate for the entrepreneur. Chris will teach you how to create more freedom and more prosperity right now, not about saving 25 to 40 years from now. It's all about creating wealth and prosperity today. He's been featured on U.S. News, CNN Money, Bankrate.com, interviewed internationally on TV and radio, and has a high reputation for getting his clients fast, life-altering financial results with his company, Money Ripples. Learn more at MoneyRipples.com. Now, here's your host, Chris Miles.
Hello, my fellow Ripplers. This is Chris Miles, cash flow expert and anti-financial advisor. Welcome again to our podcast this week. Welcome to the Chris Miles Money Show, where it's about you. How we can actually help you create a life that goes beyond a life of mediocrity, a life of prosperity and abundance today, cash flow right now, so you can have greater freedom and control of your life and be able to enjoy and be able to spend time doing what you love with those that you love. Hey, you know, I want to talk about today, like, as a quick reminder, check out our website, moneyripples.com. You know, great ebook on there if you want to see the different ways to free up cash flow called Beyond Rice and Beans, 7 Secrets to Free Up Cash Today. Definitely check it out. You can get it for free on that website. Today, I want to talk about, you know, really kind of about why I'm an anti-financial advisor and really like why financial advisors are actually dangerous. And, you know, some of these things may not be a shock to you, especially if you've worked with financial advisors before, if you've been around the block a little bit. Heck, I know I was at a conference recently, and a conference full of dentists and orthodontists, which, by the way, if you're part of that profession, you already know that you're kind of hunted. You know, there are a lot of people looking for your money, and you might be a doctor. There's lots of professions where that's the case, you know, successful business owners and things like that, where financial advisors are coming at you left and right. I mean, some of you even have offices where people are just walking right in to solicit you. And it's kind of crazy. And I want to talk about, like, what specifically about financial advisors should you look out for, you know? And there's a reason I refer to myself as an anti-financial advisor, and I'll tell you why. Because, you know, I started doing this business about 16 years ago, and I started being the financial advisor. My whole goal was just to have business experience, but I really loved learning and then teaching about money. And so I did everything that, you know, financial advisors taught. I taught you how to spend very little, you know, try to sacrifice and save everything, and use compound interest, that rule of 72, to your benefit, so that someday you might have that wonderful lifestyle. And I knew as I gained more experience and time went on, I started to look at variables. And that's the one thing I see a lot of is that, you know, your life was never meant to be put into a calculator, right? I mean, it's just impossible to put somebody's future into a calculator. You just cannot predict anything. And so I try to put in numbers, but I realize there's always exceptions to the rules, right? I would see that, like, yeah, but inflation, they say 3%, but man, I'm running these numbers, and if I run it at 3%, that doesn't look as good. Like, you can't really retire much. I would see this, right? And I'd be like, ooh, what if the market doesn't do as well as I'd hope? Because, you know, when I came in right during, you know, right after 9/11, you know, like I came in right during the Y2K era. So I came in at a really great time to be able to see people's hopes and dreams get squashed, right? Especially because in the 90s, people were like, hey, 12, 18%, it's awesome. It kind of is like what I hear people saying today, which is like, oh, the market's been like 14, 15% every year. I'm awesome. Like, I'm doing great in the market. Why would I stop putting money in that? Well, for the same reason why people in the 90s found out when Y2K hit, right? And, you know, and it's the same thing. Like, when things go beyond, you know, like when the market goes beyond its usual 7.5%, you know, actual rate of return, it kind of throws people off, you know? It throws the numbers off. And so, yeah, so I mean, all these things were happening. So I came in at what would be the worst time when people were actually quitting financial advising. I went in. And I remember there was a few key moments. I remember one. I remember this was in 2005. So I'd been in the business for 3 years by this point. And a guy came to train us, and he talked about index products, right? And some of you guys may have heard them, where you get, you know, some of the market returns up to a cap. You know, you get up to a certain point, but you get none of the downswing, which was kind of a big thing for people that got burned for 3 years of downturn in the market, right? And so they said, hey, look at this. This is awesome. And then we ran numbers, and we're like, wait a minute. Actually, from 1995 to 2005, we had put our money in more like fixed account type things that didn't lose money in the market. We would all have more money right now. And I remember I cornered the guy that was training about these some of these products. I cornered him out in the parking lot, and I said, "Hey, you know, we've done the math, and why wouldn't we do this? Why wouldn't everybody be doing something that's more guaranteed, like fixed type of products, or even indexed, which is a little bit, not quite fixed, but at least it's got a little bit of buffer to it?" And his answer to me was, "Well, kid, you're young." You know, I was like in my late 20s. He's like, "You're young. You can take the risk. You know, you'll do way better in the market than you do this. We're just offering another product for people that are scared of the market." And at that moment, I realized, I'm like, dang it. He's just teaching us whatever to sell, just to sell to different types of people. I'm a salesman in a suit. And this didn't come long after. I mean, this is about the same time I went to meet with my brother-in-law. And I've told about this story a few times before. But, you know, I went to meet with my brother-in-law, who came from a successful family. A family had made millions of dollars. People had definitely hunted them. You know, they were like the Merrill Lynch bait, right? Like Merrill Lynch would headhunt these kind of guys. And in fact, I remember there was one point he even said, "Hey, you should go work for Merrill Lynch, because that's probably a more reputable firm than these things." And I remember going to teach him. I taught him the same things that actually Merrill Lynch would have taught him too. Taught him the same kind of concepts about compound interest, investing, and things like that. And I thought I would teach him a thing or two, because I figured, hey, I know more money. Maybe he's good at business, but I know about money and finance. And he came back to me and said, "Chris, so if I give you 10 grand to play with, you're saying you might be able to make me 12% in a year, right?" I'm like, "Well, yeah, I can't guarantee it, but that's been the average since 2 million BC, you know?" And he's like, "Okay, so let's just say I make 12% from $10,000. That's $1,200 in a year. Now, Chris, I can take 10 grand. I can go and I can go buy a semi-truck," because he sold trucks. He's like, "I can go buy a semi-truck at a discount, turn around and sell it, and make $20,000 of profit in a few months. So, Chris, why would I invest my money with you?" And what did I say? I said the same thing that almost every financial advisor will tell a business owner or someone who has a lot of money. "Well, you should be diversified. You shouldn't put all your eggs in one basket, because business is risky. You know, you should definitely do some other things too, other investments to help diversify your portfolio." And he kind of smiled at me, you know, and kind of had that knowing smile, right? And just said, "All right, Chris, well, that's great. Great presentation. Thanks for your time." And he didn't invest with me at all. Didn't put a dime into it. Because really, I mean, he had me. He, making $20,000 from $10,000 in just a few months through his business was definitely a way better return than a maybe of $1,200 in a year, right? I mean, come on, common sense to tell you he won. And I remember going back to my office, and I asked different guys. I even asked the guys that dealt with high net worth millionaires. And I said, how would you answer that? I didn't know what to say. And a lot of them would just say, "I don't know. That's you probably would have said about as all I could say. And honestly, that's a pretty good answer on his part. That's a good point." And that's how I realized, again, another thing I realized, like, I'm just a salesman in a suit. I'm influenced because of my bias. My bias is towards whatever I sell. Understand, if you're a realtor, you're going to sell people on real estate, right? You're going to tell people to buy homes. If you're a financial advisor that sells mutual funds, you're going to say buy mutual funds. Or if you're an insurance salesman, you're going to say buy insurance. Of course, you're going to be biased. You know, if you sell popsicles, you're going to say buy popsicles, right? I don't care if it's 20 degrees outside, you're going to say it. And so that's when I realized, and that's the point I want to drive home to you guys, that financial advisors fall short. They are doing you a disservice big time. Now, granted, I'm not arguing that they don't offer products and options. That's great. I love that. You know, there's no doubt. But I will tell you, I've run the numbers any way possible. And I remember in 2006, when it came down to the numbers and seeing people's real life situations, they weren't retiring at all. I mean, these people, even with millions of dollars, still were like, "Okay, I don't want to run out of money." They were living a life of scarcity. And I remember when my eyes opened up and I started seeing other investment options and things like that. I was like, holy cow, like there's a whole world that I hadn't even considered, even though I'd spent 4 years being a financial advisor and even having people come ask me questions about the financial products that we sold. You know, other advisors asking me questions about it, because I started to study these things. And when I started to study them more, I realized, wow, it's not impressive. And that's the big thing. And so first point I want to make about financial advisors and why they're dangerous is that, one, is that their bias is towards their pocketbooks. Whatever they sell, that's typically what they're going to recommend. You know, a lot of times people come to me and they're like, hey, I'm hiring you to be a strategist here, and I want to know like what I should invest in. And I'm like, okay, great. Well, guess what? This might take a couple months to figure this out, because it's not about what I think you should invest in, even though I've got plenty of ideas and options. It's going to be about what's actually a good fit for you. And that's a very different thing. That's why I charge a consulting fee when I work with people that way, because, you know, I'm not trying to sell you financial products. You know, I want to keep that bias out. That's why I had to quit. I couldn't be in integrity anymore. So March of 2006, I was done. I said, that's it. I'm no longer going to do financial advising because I can't stay pure. Because even when I try to go outside of it, I remember the company I worked with said, hey, sorry, you can't sell things outside of what we offer. Even when they had a decent product, all of a sudden I saw they discontinued that product. I'm like, wait, I was going to sell that. And now you just discontinued it because there wasn't enough demand, because you guys weren't teaching us to create a demand for it, even though that might have been a much better option. Maybe. And that right there, that was a big aha for me. That's why I realized I was just a puppet. And I'm telling you, financial advisors are puppets. You know, that might be hard to hear, especially if you're a financial advisor listening to this right now. But it's true. Any training you receive from companies is biased towards the company. So remember, financial advisors aren't experts at all. In fact, most cases, is a lot of them probably have less money than you. There's a reason they're called broker, because they're broker than you and I are. And not only do they have less money, but they haven't had the experience around it. And so one, definitely their pocketbooks are gearing them towards a bias, right? Whatever they get, they can sell, they get paid on. And I've had lots of you guys come to me and say, you know, that's why I can't trust them, because I can't trust that their opinion's right for me, because of course they're going to tell me to do it. And that's why even when I refer to my team, you know, when I say, because I do have other people I refer to that are financial people, like I don't write health and disability insurance and things like that, or other types of insurances. You know, I might deal with the life insurance piece myself because I'm a life insurance snob and I want to make sure it's done right. But for the most part, like I'm referring out almost everything, accounting, you know, for the tax aspect, for the attorneys. Obviously, I'm not an attorney, you know, in different investments. I refer out to people that have the investments. And so I let them do that. But I do that because, like, I want to stay a separate and apart from that. I want to be the person in your corner. And financial advisors, they do have a fiduciary responsibility to do what's right for you. But I'll tell you, I still have to do the certifications, because I still currently own, like, a life and health license, for example, insurance license. I dropped my securities license back in 2005 when I was teaching people how to trade in the stock market, because they wouldn't let me. Funny enough, even though I sold mutual funds, they wouldn't let me teach people about how to find signals in the stock market. I didn't even advise people when to buy or sell. I just taught them about it, and they had made me drop my licenses. So, which by the way was one of the coolest things ever, because that was freedom. Because I wouldn't be able to tell you half these things, to teach you half these things today, if I had a license where I sold mutual funds. Believe it or not, we were actually told not to teach you these things, you know, not to teach you about alternative investments and things like that. So, anyways, they lack that bias that leans more towards your corner. It's more towards the company they're selling for, because the company is the one that's providing all the training. All the banks and financial institutions are the ones that are providing the training to financial advisors to pass along to you. That's why these vehicles don't work. This is, some of the best marketing ever. I mean, this is why you think a 401k is awesome, because you've been told by quote unquote financial experts, people that are in the media that, by the way, have sponsors that are oftentimes these very financial institutions that they're selling or that they're promoting, right? They're the ones paying the advertising bills. They're the ones saying, hey, check this out. Here's a new product you should promote and pitch. And they do. And so pretty soon you get the Susie Ormans and the Dave Ramseys of the world pretty much all giving you crappy advice, because they're giving you the advice based on their bias, which comes from financial institutions. Every financial advisor you meet with, If they're taking training from certain company, like people say, hey, especially on the life insurance front, people will be like, hey, so I met with a Northwestern guy. And I'm like, oh, well, then I know kind of how he thinks, because they have a culture. They teach you a certain way. New York Life or, you know, Guardian or, you know, Mass Mutual or whatever. Like even companies I've worked with, like I stay independent of those companies for that very reason. I don't go to their trainings because I don't want to be influenced by their BS. If I could be so blunt, you know. So anyways, you know, that's a big thing. Is that one, their pocketbooks are totally biased towards the financial institutions. They're puppets. Two, they lack experience. In most of these cases, like I said, they're broker than you and I are. They lack experience. They don't really have experience outside of what they teach. And some of them might actually own the products they sell, but they don't really do much outside of it. If they did, they would probably stop selling it. I'm telling you, it's very hard to find, for example, a financial advisor that says, hey, you know what? Real estate is an awesome investment. Oh my goodness. Like, man, you know what? In fact, don't even buy my stuff. Don't even buy these mutual funds. You should be buying this real estate because you're going to do way better over time. Heck, you're going to do way better in the short term doing that than buying my stuff. No, they're not going to say that. If they did, all of a sudden they become a realtor, right? So you're not going to see them do that. You might see a few of them say, I actually own some real estate, but they'll still come right back around and say, but you should be buying this. You should be investing here because you need to diversify, right? You're in it for the long haul. That's why you don't worry about the ups and downs because you're in it for the long haul. What if that long haul ends up being too long for you? What if you're about to retire and all of a sudden the market tanks? Oops. Oh, well. We'll just wait it out for another 5 to 10, 15 years, and then you can retire, right? That kind of stuff. They lack the right perspective. Like, really, for me, I had to look outside and question everything I was taught. The reason I refer to myself as an anti-financial advisor is because more than half the stuff that you hear financial advisors teach, I kind of puke in my mouth. it's horrible. It's just not good, And just like when I was at this dental and orthodontist conference recently, right? I mean, these guys are like looking to be investors to get themselves out of their practice, to be able to get out of the rat race and retire, regardless of making all the money they make. And so, I was there at that conference. They're saying like, yeah, my financial advisor is saying this. Like they're saying, put more money in these indexed funds, like the things I used to sell, right? Or these variable funds, or put it in this kind of life insurance product, which I'm like, cool, they're close. But you know what? That product, it actually is inferior to what you could be doing. You're actually costing yourself thousands of dollars a year, wasting it essentially because of the advice they're giving you. And which doesn't make people feel great. And I try not to depress people, but sometimes I have to kind of be honest to say, you know what? Not bad. And there's times I'm like, hey, that person did a good job for you. Awesome. Great. It's pretty rare. In fact, if I find those people, sometimes I'm like, cool, how can I bring them into my team? That's usually what I look for in those kind of things. But they lack that perspective, and they don't have that investor or business owner mindset, because really, that's where the money's going to be made. That's going to be where your economic engine is that helps you create that freedom. It's not going to be in those products. I'll just tell you right now, like those products, I mean, is there a place for them? Of course, but not for the purpose of this show. And the reason I say that is because I mentioned in the beginning, you're not here to live a mediocre life. You don't want the status quo. You don't want to be like everybody else where you're struggling and just trying to save every penny. And then hopefully someday you have something. That's not what this is about. This is about you creating freedom and prosperity today. And so there's no answer for those things. They don't have that answer for you. And so that's where they lack that perspective. They don't see the big picture. They don't see the cause and effect. They don't see that actually like what happens after years of that advice doesn't work. I've seen it doesn't work. There's not enough returns. Inflation's too high. There's too much risk you're taking because you shouldn't be taking more risk. You should be taking less risk with higher returns than what they're talking about with the high risk stuff. Because it's the high risk creating high returns is one of the biggest myths and fallacies that if you ever hear that from anyone, that right there is a reason to run and hide. Those people are not people to do business with. They're not people to invest money with. Those people you should run away from because it does not take higher risk create high returns. I don't mean it doesn't take any risk. I don't mean that there's not element of risk because there's element of risk with everything you do. Heck, there's element of risk with your savings account, even more so than some things. But what I'm saying is that there are ways to lower risk and create higher returns. And so they just don't see that. They don't see like the big picture. Many times people a lot of the doctors and dentists and anesthesiologists and people like that have come see me. Like when we do the life insurance strategy, some people come to me just for that. And we'll do a show on that here pretty soon about why that is. But they don't realize that they've never been taught like how to, in such a common sense way, how to use that like a supercharged savings account to then go and turn around and invest and essentially make money in two places at the same time. Like that's just not taught because advisors don't have that kind of perspective. They don't think to that next level, that next step. And the number one thing, I mean, about their perspective, I mean, we talk about lacking, they lack experience. They don't have that kind of knowledge. They haven't been there, done that, or still doing it today. They lack the perspective. They don't see the big picture. Obviously, their pocketbooks are influencing them. But number one in my book is that it's all about the numbers for them. Like I mentioned in the beginning, your life was never meant to be put into a calculator. You can't. There's so many variables in your life. The only thing we can control is today. You know, when people say, hey, can we project out, you know, 10, 20, 30 years in the future? I was like, we can project out all we want, but it doesn't mean it's going to be accurate because either it's going to fall short or either you're going to fall short in the sense that you're not going to meet those expectations or you're going to far exceed them. And the truth is all we can influence is today, which is why I focus on cash flow now, because if we can create that money today, that's the one thing we're certain of. We don't even know if we're going to be on this planet tomorrow, right? But we do know what we can do today. And so all this long-term planning stuff, you may not be around for the long term. And I'm not saying the long term isn't important, but I've noticed that if I can influence the present, the short term, and create more prosperity now, it's amazing how the long term becomes better too. It's not about delaying and delaying all the gratification and delaying all these numbers out there. It's about what you can do today. So this is what we're about. It's creating freedom and prosperity right now. It's not about putting numbers in a calculator. It's just dumb. Those numbers are going to be inaccurate in the first day, or the next day, because once the market changes, oh, sorry, these numbers aren't the same. Or next year, they're not going to be the same. We can't project out, but we can project what we can create right now. So guys, that's what I want you to be aware of, is that financial advisors, they're dangerous. And it's not because they intend to do so, because they really intend to do well for the most part. But it's because they lack knowledge and perspective and the ability to get you where you want to go. So guys, that's my warning and my advice to you today. It's time for you to take control of your own life right now, to have the freedom and prosperity that you deserve, to have that abundance in your life that is so waiting for you right now. Guys, I hope you're making a wonderful and prosperous week, and we'll see you later.
Thanks for listening to The Chris Miles Money Show. Don't forget to subscribe to us on iTunes and make us a part of your daily routine. And check out our blogs and learn more about Chris, his services, and how we can help you at moneyripples.com. Join us next time on The Chris Miles Money Show.